Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Showtime! How y'all feel?
You got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
And good morning, one and all. Good to have you with us as we roll it out on the 16th day of July, a Tuesday. Bruce and Shane with you rolling through the next couple of hours on this little ditty that we call Sports Daily. Good to have you with us, 869-1240. You can join the show on the Twin Peaks Scenic Views hotline. Plenty to get to. The Royals, I'm not going to call it a fire sale, Shane. They made an interesting move yesterday, Martin Maldonado going to the Cubs for Mike Montgomery, proving that there can be full circles of life in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, some people would say that Dayton Moore is taking this rebuild a little too far and that he's trying to rebuild the team from 5 years ago.
2008.
But, yeah, right. Hey, look, after further review, and of course everybody has immediate reaction on social media, did we get enough, did we get anything? Look, they needed to fill a spot for Homer Bailey in the pitching rotation.
Sure.
And Mike Montgomery will be under team control for the next 2 years. So, hey, you could do worse. You know, yeah, it'd be nice if they could have gotten the Cubs' number 15 prospect who's in low A right now. But, you know, flipping a one-year guy, Martin Maldonado, who they only signed because Salvador Perez got hurt,
sure,
for a big league pitcher that wanted to be a starter anyway, and was kind of just messing around in the Cubs bullpen, although he had a moment, you know, back in the World Series in 2016. Got the final out of the World Series and got the save. But anyway, you know, you get what you can for these flips. And Wilson Contreras hitting the injured list for the Chicago maybe prompted this move, maybe made Theo Epstein a little nervous. But fact is, the Royals got something for one of the guys they flip before the deadline. You know, we can discuss his effectiveness or, you know, potential bust-worthy next couple of years. But, you know, let's think about it for a second. All right, so for those people that are chapped that Martin Maldonado didn't bring a prospect back, you can't, in good faith with the fans, keep trading these guys just for prospects and now continue have to replenish your big league roster, right?
Right, like, exactly.
Okay, let's say they got a prospect for him. Okay, you still don't have anybody to pitch on Friday against Cleveland, and now you need a backup catcher that you need to call up or acquire or something, which I think they're going to do with Mabrius Valeria from Double A. But, you know, like I said, you can't get prospects for all these guys. Jeffrey Flanagan will be on here in about 20 minutes or so and kind of further break down where the Royals go from here and who's next. But, you know, there's probably, like you like to say, a jaundiced eye toward Mike Montgomery. But, you know, you basically traded a backup catcher and you got more than a bucket of balls for him. So
yeah,
you take what you can get at this point. And I'd be interested to ask Jeffrey, and I'll get your opinion on this. If you've got a rental, which the Royals kind of did with Maldonado, Homer Bailey, Diekman kind of, Boxberger, who they've already released, Duda, there's five guys that you're trying to flip, right?
Right.
Do you just take whatever's best offer? Whoever's best offer, even if it's not much, even if it's cash, you trade them 100% because they're not part of your plans? Or do you drive a harder bargain and say, you know, that's not good enough. We'll hang on to him. You trade him, right? 100% of the time?
I think you trade him. Yeah. And I think that you've set it up pretty well. You can't just constantly ship prospects because you've got to allow your minor league system to bear some fruit. And the Royals are in a difficult situation because their minor league system isn't probably target rich right now. It's not, there are a couple, they don't have the type of organization where you can afford to just, you know, move a lot of guys. They're counting on what's in double A now. They're counting on what's in high A now.
It's like it used to be when Moose, Hosmer, and Salvi were at double A and Whit.
Right.
They were all
exactly.
there kind of at the same time. Like, okay, wait till these guys are ready.
Yeah, so you got to identify some guys, and Flanny will be able to talk to this too, because we know how it is. You're not getting all those guys aren't going to hit.
Right.
If you feel honestly like you've got between high A and double A right now, I don't know the number, and I haven't looked at the metrics here in the last week and a half or so. But if you think you've got 5-6 guys down there that may end up being something, and maybe it's more than that. What percentage of it do you – I mean, a winning percentage is still getting, what, 50% of them to the big leagues and be productive?
I'd say maybe even less than that.
It's a very imprecise science.
Yeah.
And there's no rhyme or reason to it. There's a lot of ground to be covered from double A to the big leagues. And then once you get to the big leagues, figuring out how to – succeed in the big leagues and then consistently do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of water that's got to go under the bridge before you get there. And so that's why it's so darned hard. I mean, all of these guys that are playing for pay can play ball. And these guys, they're all good players to one degree or another. It's when they get there and have to start developing the skill set and the maturity to play at the next level and then the level after that or the level after that successfully, that's the hard part. But the Royals have got to, and I think Dayton Moore certainly understands that, and I appreciate the fact you've got a minor league system. You've got a farm system for a reason. And you know something, there are places that just buy players, but the Yankees have developed players mm-hmm. through their system. The Red Sox have done a tremendous job developing players through their system. The Dodgers have got very good home. I mean, everybody talks about the Dodgers being able to go out and buy a player, but look how many of those guys are homegrown. So in your farm system, and the Royals in particular, because that's how they're going to get this thing back.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
And when you send out these one-year free agent, or, you know, those one-year signs, and you don't get back a prospect that you can send down to Northwest Arkansas, it's like, well, okay, maybe next time, you know.
Yeah.
But when you get from now until the next 2 weeks, and like you said, we'll ask Flanny this, from now until the next 2 weeks, you just take whatever offer you get offered for Billy Hamilton, or do you qualify these offers?
I don't even – for a guy like Billy Hamilton, I think you're lucky if you get, you know, if you get some chew and pine tar.
Well, even if Jake Diekman, who
he's different.
How do you draw the line on a guy like Jake Diekman, a lefty that throws 97? Where do you go,
well,
yeah, that's good enough, no, this isn't good enough?
Well, I mean, he's a lefty that throws 97.
Isn't it? Yeah, but what do you draw a line in the sand to the Red Sox or the Yankees or the Astros and say, mm-hmm. if you don't give us this level of a prospect, you're not getting him?
Well, do they believe that Jake Diekman can be a guy for them? I mean, how old is Jake Diekman? 20, 25, 23. I don't even know how old is he.
He's older than that, but
is he?
He
so he's been around the park a couple times.
Yeah, and he's there to be moved.
Yeah, he is.
He's a setup guy on a team that's 33-62. So well, both sides know what's going on
everybody
here.
Everybody knows what the deal is.
But the Royals hold the cards because they have him. He's 32, by the way.
Oh, my God. Is he really?
Yeah, he is. He was with the Rangers and the Phillies. And the, anyway.
All right. Well, so, I lost a touch with that one.
But the other contending clubs know that, look, you don't need a 32-year-old left-handed setup guy when you're playing 345 ball. Like, what... It's an interesting kind of dilemma where the Royals hold the cards.
But a hard-throwing lefty setup guy is nice to have, man.
Sure.
Because most people have a right-handed setup guy.
Yeah.
It's really nice to have right-left in that position.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really nice. No, I mean, I think he's a chip, and I think he's a more valuable chip than, say, a Hamilton, a Gore would have been.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Before he was outrighted, basically.
But they have their usefulness. But, man, individually last night, Billy Hamilton didn't exactly help himself. I don't know if you watched, but he had three just throwaway at-bats. One where he fouled out trying to move a runner, bunting. There's a little nubber with the bases loaded to the third baseman.
Don't guys like Billy Hamilton, Terrence Gore, there are plenty of other guys like that around baseball. They do not have a skill set that allows them to be sloppy at the plate. You would think that guys like that would be able to handle a bat when they need to put the ball down. You would think guys like that might try to bunt to try to hit 240 anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then.
Billy Hamilton is not a good baseball player.
No.
He happens to be pretty fast. That turned himself into a good center fielder at tracking a ball. Beyond that, he doesn't have, I mean, I suppose that's good enough to keep you in the big leagues, but he pretty much sucks everywhere else.
Yeah.
And I don't know what I was expecting or hoping him coming over from the Reds, and frankly, I guess I didn't watch enough Reds baseball to see what kind of player Billy Hamilton
was. There was a reason they got rid of him, and they were horrific a year ago. And I mean horrific. They're not that great this year. So, bad.
Well, anyway, last night, Jake Junis was good. Struck out a career-high 10. This is for the good news. Nicky Lopez drove in a pair of runs. Hunter Dozier had two hits. Royals beat Lucas Giolito for the first time in 10.
That was a great win for him, I thought.
It was. They played solid. They kind of hang on by their fingernails in the eighth inning where Diekman came in and stranded the bases loaded. Witt's got a 13-game hitting streak. Kennedy got his 14th save. And Scott Barlow was recalled from AAA Omaha. He pitched in the eighth inning with kind of mixed results or whatever. Dylan Cease and Glenn Sparkman, your pitchers tonight. And down on the farm, a guy that pitched at the University of Memphis, who Wichita State raked in 2018, by the way, threw a no-hitter for the Wilmington Blue Rocks. Jonathan Bolin,
wow,
who's a big, big, hard-throwing right-hander, had 9 strikeouts and no walks. If not for an error, he would have had a perfect game over Carolina last night.
Wow. Second
rounder out of Memphis in 2018. Yeah. Bolin throws a no-hitter last night. So it was a pretty good day to be a Royals fan last night between Bolin throwing a no-hitter and the Royals winning their third game in 4 tries since the All-Star break. And then mid-game, I think everybody knew something was up when Cam Gallagher pinch hit for Martin Maldonado. And it's like, okay, something's going on. He either hurt himself running the bases or they traded him. As it turned out, they traded him. And they get Mike Montgomery back, who was a first-rounder in 2008, was considered a top prospect before he was dealt in the trade that got Kansas City James Shields and Wade Davis. So I think most would agree that that was worth it. Then he was traded thereafter to Seattle and arrived in Chicago a year later.
And was pretty good, really.
And he bounced back and forth between starting and relieving, so yeah. He started year. Started this year on the DL. He had a sore shoulder. IL. I'm sorry. It's the IL this year. And he's got a 5.67 ERA and 20 relief appearances. But I think he's made it in not so uncertain terms that he'd rather start. So that's what the Royals got.
Give him innings.
And he's going to start on Friday against Cleveland, unless something changes between now and then. So yeah.
I mean, he started 19 games a year ago with the Cubs. 19 games. And 14 the year before that.
Kind of squeezed out by Cole Hamels, Yu Darvish coming back. That's a big reason why I think he started 19 games in 18, because Yu Darvish was hurt. But whatever. That stuff happens in big leagues.
But he's throwing innings. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. So, good. I'm glad. I think he's a decent piece. Why not? Now he's in his last year of his contract. I think he's
in the last year of his contract. They got two additional seasons of club control with Montgomery.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which is probably part of the reason why they said, yeah, we'll try him again.
Okay.
36th overall.
Well, he's never pitched for the Royals. He was gone before he ever got the chance to do it. But yeah, he was their number one pick back in 2008. And he's still only 29 years old.
Kind of a tweener. 30. Maybe not part of the rebuild, but he's not Lucas Duda either. And again, the knee jerk on social media last night when and this was fairly late when it came out that Montgomery was the guy. This is around 11 o'clock or so when we finally found out who they got back. There's some moans and groans that it wasn't some minor league kid, but like I said, when you are a floundering team that is in sell mode, can't always get a prospect for these guys. Now, you want to make a habit of this, but like I said, Martin Maldonado's a backup catcher, and you traded him for something. So be happy about that. And I think Billy Hamilton will be in this category too. If they're able to move him, if you get something for him, be happy about it. Or let's try to turn it into something positive. And to your point about all the Royals prospects, the ones that they do have in the minor leagues and the ones that don't pan out, there's nothing to say here in a couple years, the ones that are in either Lexington or Wilmington, hell, you might flip those guys if you're suddenly good again.
Sure.
You know?
Well, sure.
And turn them into something. So they don't have to all hit at the big league level, because sometimes you'll trade them away before they get there. I mean, that's what prospects are for. They're either there to help you win a pennant or to trade to other teams to get players that'll help you win a pennant. There's more than one way to skin a cat, and the Red Sox and the Yankees are both finding that out. They've bought championships before or tried to, and now they're getting some homegrown stuff to try to get them championships. Everybody takes turns deciding what's best for their organizations to try to get them a pennant, and then the Royals are.
Yeah, it's just that the margin for error is thinner for a small market team like Kansas City, because they can't swim in that free agent pool. They've got to be more selective about how they build in free agency and the pieces that they put in free agency. And you got to be really careful about what you do with your prospects.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Royals have been prospects poor for a while. I mean, they're better now. But,
the guy they got from Homer Bailey, I guess, is an actual prospect. He is like in the teens on the Royals' list of prospects.
Good.
So, I mean, yeah, he's not just an organizational filler.
Well, we'll talk to Jeffrey Flanagan about it. He's coming up next, our Kansas City Royals insider, friend of the show, Shane and Bruce Rowland. It's a Tuesday, and you've got it right here on KFH, listening to Sports Daily.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.